Hello, Googleization Nation. Welcome to Better Leaders, Better Workplaces, a GGG Unleashed podcast with thought leader Vivian Blade. In each of Vivian's episodes, we'll cover the latest trends and emerging practices around creating resilient workplaces. Let's begin.
I recently ran into a former colleague. We were chatting about how things were going with family and at work. She's been with her current employer for about 7 or 8 years now, and when I asked her about her next career move, I was a little surprised about the focus of her response. She said, "I'm going to stick around for a little while. I think they still appreciate me. The moment they don't, I'm out." Hello and welcome back to GGG Unleashed, Better Leaders, Better Workplaces. I'm Vivian Blade, President and CEO of Experts in Growth Leadership Consulting and a recognized leadership and resilience thought leader. On this podcast, you'll get the latest insights and proven strategies to help you solve those pressing turnover, burnout, and workplace culture challenges your company is struggling with right now. So if you're a business or HR leader, you don't want to miss an episode. My colleague's sentiment about whether she's valued or not, and whether she'll stay or go, is a common one in today's environment. My guest today is helping us to realize, and I quote, "At its core, culture is about people. It's about creating an environment where individuals feel valued, respected, and supported. It's about fostering a sense of belonging and encouraging collaboration and teamwork." I am so excited to welcome to the show Gary Ridge, Chairman Emeritus of the WD-40 Company, where he spent 25 years as Chairman and CEO, and now as founder of his new company, The Learning Moment, is known as The Culture Coach. Thank you for joining us, Gary.
G'day, Vivian. It's a delight to be with you. Thank you for the invite.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as we kick off our time together today, tell us a little bit about yourself and the company that you founded, the Learning Moment, after your retirement in 2022 from the WD-40 company.
Well, firstly, I didn't retire. I refired. I don't like the word retirement.
Awesome.
The Learning Moment's been around for a little while. It was really birthed from my time at USD, where I did a master's degree now 25 or 30 years ago. And even then, I wanted to capture some of the important learning around that. And that's where I met my dear friend and one of my sincere mentors, Ken Blanchard. We wrote a book together. So I had a website that was really a place to store some of my learning. And then as I prepared for my refirement, I was happy to use that as the platform for what's really important. And the reason I call it the Learning Moment is that failure, or the fear of failure, is one of the most devastating and disabling emotions within business. So we said we don't make mistakes, we have learning moments. And a learning moment is a positive or negative outcome of any situation that needs to be openly and freely shared with all people. So that's why I call it the Learning Moment. It's a place of freedom.
Excellent. And I'm anxious to hear more about that, because I think a lot of times, so much, and we don't want to be vulnerable and let other people know that we're not perfect and that we do all have those opportunities to learn. So that certainly inspires us. And a lot of business leaders believe that culture, which is a heavy area of focus for you, should be left to human resources. It's a nice thing to do, not a have to do. Why are they wrong?
Well, culture, is a responsibility of everybody, because everybody in the organization either adds to or subtracts from the culture. When I was a young lad back in Australia, in my science class, my science teacher gave me a petri dish, and they said, "What we're going to do is we're going to grow culture in this petri dish." So there are two most important things. Number one is, what are the ingredients you need to put in that petri dish to grow the culture? And number two, you as the owner of the petri dish, how are you going to feed, reward, and applaud the good ingredients? But also, are you going to be brave enough to treat the toxins that get into that petri dish? And unfortunately, most leaders protect their own comfort zone at the expense of some other's development. So if you think about it, That petri dish is not owned just by human resources. It's owned by every leader, everybody in the organization who need to take care of it on a daily basis to identify the toxins, but also to feed and reward and applaud the good behaviors that build great cultures.
I like that point about ownership of everyone. We all have to feed it, because if you don't get those nutrients from across the organization, from everyone, just like the petri dish, as your science teacher demonstrated to you, then you don't get the growth. You don't have the kind of environment that really fosters growth.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, I heard something a few weeks ago from a friend of mine, Charlie Maloof. He's the CEO of Broad River Retail. They own the Ashley stores down in the US, a number of them. And he said, you cannot microwave culture. It takes a crockpot approach. And I thought that was so true.
I like that, a crockpot approach. Excellent. Doesn't happen quickly. Good. Well, to that end, let's talk a little bit about WD-40's culture at the end of your tenure there. What made this such a special organization? And what was some of the learning? And how did you all learn to be able to create such an environment, a sticky environment?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, WD-40 was a place where people went to work every day. They knew they made a contribution to something bigger than themselves, because we had a clearly defined purpose, and purpose is so important. They learned something new, because we're an organization that was a learning organization. That's why we had the learning moment. They were protected and set free by a compelling set of values. So that allowed people to make choices, because one of the big things that, you know, people want to do is to make choices. But to make choices, you need to give them a safe zone to do that. And our values did that. And from all that, they hopefully went home happy. And that was really important to us, because happy people build happy families. Happy families build happy communities. And happy communities build a happy world. And my golly, we need a happy world. So that was really, you know, the kind of guidelines that we kept for ourselves. It was a place where people came together to protect and feed each other. It was a place that they knew they belonged and they knew they mattered, which was, you know, basically, in, as a human being, that's so important. And then finally, it was a place where their coach, because we took the word manager out. You know, if you look at the Oxford Dictionary, the definition of a manager is someone who manipulates. We were coaches, and our job as coaches at WD-40 was to help those we have the privilege to lead play their best game. And if you think about a coach, a great coach never runs on the field. A great coach knows what it takes to win, knows the rules of the game, i.e. the values, and then they spend a lot of time on the sideline observing the play so that they can help the player win. And they spend a lot of time in the locker room, which is so important. And the locker room is the place where you build trust, psychological safety, and that's so important within the organization to actually enhance the culture.
You know, so many people think of those areas that you talked about as soft, as, again, sort of the nice to do's and not the have to do's. And to your point about it, your colleague mentioning that it's not a microwave approach, building culture is not a microwave approach, but it is a crockpot approach. Talk about some of the strategies that were really important for you, a couple of strategies to get WD-40's culture to that point, as you just described.
Well, I think the two that I briefly mentioned are so important. Number one is, you know, do you have a clearly defined purpose? People want to make a contribution to something bigger than themselves. And if you think of WD-40, the blue and yellow can with a little red top, you know, you could have a purpose that was meaningless. For example, what's the purpose of WD-40 company? Well, to stop squeaks. Well, yeah. But our purpose was actually to create positive, lasting memories. And our purpose statement was, we exist to create positive, lasting memories, solving problems in factories, homes, and workshops around the world. We solve problems and we create opportunities. So those memories were not just for the end users who use our product. They were for the communities that we had the privilege to operate in, for the people that we touched every day. So having a clearly defined purpose is absolutely vital. The second one is values. we had six hierarchical values, and those values were clearly defined. Our number one value was we valued doing the right thing. Our number two value, interestingly enough, was absolutely linked to our purpose, because our number two value was we value creating positive, lasting memories in all of our relationships. Now, that second value is not about, you know, kumbaya singing on a Friday afternoon, popcorn, or pizzas. It's about having a true love and a care for the people we have the responsibility and the opportunity to lead on a daily basis. So whenever I'm talking to organizations now around building cultures, the first place I go actually is, do you believe that people are the most important part of your organization? Yes or no. If it's no, I don't want to talk to you. And secondly, do we have a clearly defined purpose? And is that purpose believable and something that people can absorb and adopt? And do we have a set of clearly defined hierarchical values that set people free and allow them to have choice and make their decisions so they don't have to quack up the hierarchy to be able to make a decision within the organization?
Mm-hmm. Good. That is powerful. And we know that in this kind of environment where things are shifting and things are changing, we think about it as, you know, the future of work trends that are changing the workplace, the workforce, and how work gets done. It's hard to maybe sometimes we believe sustain or maintain a culture or a purpose, and purpose sometimes shift when we're going through change like that. So how are you seeing these areas evolve, work, workplace, workforce, how work gets done in the wake of the future of work? And what are some of the trends that you are most closely watching?
The biggest one that I'm most concerned about is isolation. We're suffering right now from the lack of connection. And, you know, there is no doubt that we learned new business practices during COVID. You know, we can do a lot of work virtually. There's no doubt about that. But we're human beings. We need connection. And in fact, I wrote a blog on my website, which is thelearningmoment.net, about loss of connection in organizations, because people need connection. They need connection to feel the warmth of a human being. They need connection to discuss and debate points of view, and so they don't become isolated in their thinking. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, productivity. You need to come back to the office or to a place of gathering for productivity. It's not about productivity. It's about the human connection that we so need. So, you know, I applaud organizations who are brave enough to be able to address that. And my challenge to everyone is, as, you know, someone is leaving their house in the morning and they high-five their husband, wife, or significant other, they say, I'm so excited to get together with the people I work with today to fill in the blank. What is the fill in the blank that gets people excited to be together? And, you know, I also wrote another article about the Great Escape. You know, people were talking about, you know, the leaving during COVID and not returning to work. It wasn't the Great Resignation. It was the Great Escape. People were leaving toxic cultures because they weren't going, they didn't want to put up with that anymore. And now people are resisting going back to organizations because they said, I don't want to go back there again. It was toxic. I didn't enjoy it. And that's the leader's challenge. That's our problem. So we have to fix that.
Good. Excellent. I really am encouraged by really the focus on people and your challenge to some of the leaders that you talk to about, are the people the most important in your organization or not? And as we think about how the environment is shifting, it's got to be then that focus on people, as you just demonstrated to us, that helps us to build a kind of work environment, the kind of organization, the kind of business that can be successful, that can serve our customers well. So it all fits together. It all connects. So as we close, Gary, what are two or three parting thoughts, strategies, or tips for business and HR leaders as they are working to improve employee engagement and retention in their organizations?
Well, you know, go back to what Aristotle said in 384 BC, because this is not new news. Aristotle said, pleasure in the job puts perfection in the work. And it's not just having a really well-executed strategy in an organization. It's having a high will of the people who execute that strategy. So success is the will of the people times your strategy. And a lot of organizations get out of balance and they spend a disproportionate amount of their time on strategy and not enough time on the people side. Because if people don't go to work every day and are engaged and enthusiastic about executing on the strategy, you're not going to get the best results for your organization. So again, it's time to really understand it is all about the people.
I think a lot of times people think about with the advent of AI and it coming so quickly, integrating into everything that we do, that there's so much focus on technology, but you still need people in it. And really, nothing can run ultimately without people.
That's well, what I'm Gary, excited about AI, yeah. too, is mm-hmm. because one of the biggest pieces of feedback I got in the organization is we don't have enough time. And if we're smart, we'll use AI to do all that stuff that we don't have time for, which allows us to do all the fun stuff. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, lots of opportunity. Good. Well, Gary, you are truly a role model for us, and thank you so much for being here. How can people learn more about the Learning Moment, and what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. I have a website, www.thelearningmoment.net. I'm on LinkedIn, so please follow me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn messages there. Most times, in all circumstances, I answer people when they reach out to me. So those are probably two of the best ways to stay in touch. I post blogs on my website. And LinkedIn and the website are two great places. I'd love to meet you there.
Excellent. I enjoy following Gary on LinkedIn and all the blogs and all the information. He's a great resource. So make sure you take advantage of everything that he has to share. We'll have Gary's contact information and a link to the Learning Moment website in the show notes as well. Is your culture one where individuals feel valued, respected, and supported? Do they feel a sense of belonging? Like most companies, I bet you have some work to do. It is an ongoing journey. Gary will be joining me for a fireside chat and follow-up to this podcast where you're going to have the opportunity to hear more about how you can apply some of the lessons learned that Gary has had along the way in transforming your organization's culture. So you can look for details on how to register for that in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining me today. I work with organizations to build better leaders and better workplaces. Let's work together to enhance yours. And connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always sharing resources and generating conversations about the topics we talk about on this podcast. I'd love to hear from you. If you're ready to elevate your leadership or would like to bring an inspiring message to your conference or a corporate event, let's have a conversation. I'm here to help.
Thank you for tuning in and learning how to develop better leaders and better workplaces. We'll be back next month with Vivian for another episode. But until then, you can access a set of Vivian's resources by visiting her website, vivianblade.com. And remember, don't let the shift hit your plans.